A very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. It's a Monday morning. And so how was your weekend? It was a cold weekend, actually. It's one of those cold weekend. And I hope you had a very beautiful weekend. And thanks for joining us. And it's the 30th of June. That means we are right in the middle of the year, right in the middle of the year. So it's already half of the year is already gone. And if you haven't started yet, whatever plan that you have, you better start now because you're already right in the middle of the year. So good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. And my name is Michael Chavelli and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape the world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. But it's not just about us talking. It's about you. Share your thought, opinion, and perspective on the topic that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of these stories. So our time is about 42 minutes past the hour of 7. And let's get it to our segment on this day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? So the 30th of June. So on the 30th of June 1960, the Democratic Republic of Congo, then known as Belgium Congo, gained its independence from Belgium with Patrice Lumumba becoming the first prime minister and then Joseph Kasavubu, the first president. That was in 1960. And on the 30th of June, the very same day, the 3rd of June, 1936, the Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia delivered a historical speech at the League of Nations in Geneva. So he appealed for international support following Italy's invasion of Ethiopia, highlighting the danger of fascist aggression and the need for collective security. And on June the 30th, in 1982, three Ghanaian High Court judges and a retired army officer were abducted from their homes and shot dead at Bundase military range near Accra. So the atrocities sparked national outrage and led to a formal investigation. And this date is now commemorated annually as a Martyrs' Day in Ghana. So, yeah, in Egypt, 30th June is remembered for the June 30th Revolution, a mass uprising in 2013 that led to ousting of President Mohamed Morsi. And the event had profound political ramification for Egypt and the wider region. And on June the 30th, in 1989, Sudan's democratically elected government under President Ahmed al-Migani and Prime Minister Sadi al-Mahdi was overthrown in a military coup led by Omar al-Bashir. And today, there are also some holidays that we observe, on this day, Day of African Scientist Renaissance, observed on the 30th of June to protect scientific development and innovation across the continent. And also, today is a prayer day in the Central African Republic. It's an annual day of prayer observed on this day in the Central African Republic. Good morning. That was the On This Day in Africa. So, Monday, June the 30th, our thought for the day, a person is a person because of other person. Does that sound familiar? So the proverb is a translation of the Zulu and Xhosa phrase, umuntu kumuntu kabantu, which lies at the heart of the Ubuntu philosophy from the Southern Africa. Now, it expresses that our humanity and personhood are defined and nurtured through relationship, like with the family, community, and society at large. You are shaped, recognized, and completed through others. So Ubuntu teaches that when one person thrives, the entire community benefits. And when someone is harmed or dehumanized, so we all suffer. So our humanity is inextricably linked, you know, together. So now this proverb is both a philosophy and a call to action. So it reminds us that our self-worth and identity emerge from community, and it urges us to uplift others because their dignity reflects our own. So a person is a person because of other people. So umuntu gumuntu gabantu omuntu omuntu mora antu. So that's what it means. So that's our thought of the day, and let's think about that in the way how we, you know, treat others. We must understand that, you know, you are shaped, recognized, and completed through others. And you can only lift others because their dignity reflects your own. So that's the thought of the day. And, So let's see how we, let's see how that help you to live your day to day. So think of the other person as I need them because of them I am. All right. So welcome. This is, if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So when we come back, we get into our first story or first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Yes, Eagle FM, you can stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere. Wherever you are, you can actually listen to Eagle FM through Eagle FM website and Eagle FM mobile app. So you can download the Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play or Play Store. And on the app, there are podcasts, there are news, updated news, there are schedules of different shows, there are vacancies, and just to remind you as well, as we do some regional elections. So there are still the political parties manifestos are still there. And if you are like some of us that are live, that we work in Ondonga, there are also Ondonga, Mpango, Derero, Jandonga. So if you want to familiar with, the Mpango, Derero, Jandonga, so please make sure that you go into that as well. You read that as well. So there are a lot of informations. That's a place to go for you, to get, information that you're looking for. So, and please do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on, X, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram, WhatsApp. So engage us as well on this social, media platform, and make sure that you leave a like or a comment. So, because we want to hear, from you as well. We want to get your feedback as well. So we want to talk to you. We want to communicate with you. So, and if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, so get yourself a free copy of The Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, and be sure to save the number as a contact number. And The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So today's one, it's already out. Make sure that you get yourself a free copy. It's free, for God's sake, you know. So we're doing this. You're getting it for free. All what you need to do is just to subscribe by sending your WhatsApp message to that number I just told you. And if you want to advertise your business, or you have an event or a function or a workshop or a conference or even a real-time exposure via a live streaming or broadcastings, yeah, contact our office. It's a Monday today. You can do that already. 083-288-400. So, yes, just do that. Good morning to you. If you're just joining us, my name is Mike Oshoveli, and we are on Unpacking the Day, where we unpack the big stories affecting our beautiful country. All right, this morning, I want us to look at one of the interesting article, very interesting article in today's newspaper, today's e-newspaper, The Villager. As I said, you must subscribe, and simply by just sending your name and your email to that very number I told you, 081-244-4144. You just sent your number there. So, and then you'll be subscribed. You'll be receiving your soft copies, your free copies every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So there's an interesting story. There's an interest article in today's, e-newspaper, The Villager, about Namibia rising debt and the growing financial risk we face as a nation. The article is by Ngilunanya Petrus. So the article is based on a recent World Bank, on a recent World Bank report, that report is called The Fiscal Vulnerabilities in Low Income Countries. So, which paint a sobering picture of how countries like ours are grappling with expanding debt and shrinking international aid. So those are terrible combinations. You know, here we have expanding debt, and at the same time, the international aid is actually shrinking. So, the The report is called A Physical Vulnerability in Low Income Countries, even though Namibia is classified as an upper middle income country. We are feeling the pinch. We are feeling the pinch. So let's look at what this debt situation is, why this debt situation is a problem, how it connects to our everyday lives, and what it means for Namibia, bigger picture. So now, are you ready? Are you ready to rumble? So let's get into it. Now let's start with the headline from this World Bank report. The public debt in low-income countries is at a 20-year higher, sitting at 72% of their GDP on average in 2023. That's the headline. And when, if we think for Namibia, the Ministry of Finance says our public debt is expected to hit over 70% of GDP by 2025. Over 70%, you know, by 2025. Now, you know, one thing I don't like is those, is when you put these things into numbers and percentage, you know? So what does it really mean? You know, sometimes when you hear the number, it doesn't really bring that effect, you know, that understanding to realize that this is a really serious thing. So, yeah. So now, I want you to think of this, and I thought this actually, and that's how I realized that our country is actually in trouble. So when you think about 70% of GDP, and if you are a common economist out there, and if I don't put this right, or a finance person, that's right. This is how I'm thinking of it. And I want you to think about that as well. So think of GDP as the total value, okay? The total value of everything Namibia produces. Think of that, a total value of Namibia produces. So that means that's our fish. That means our fish, uranium, diamond, tourism, you name it. Eh? Everything, the total value of everything Namibia produces. Now, so when debt is 70%, when debt is 70% of the total value of everything that we produce, which is actually now your GDP. So if it's 70% of that, it's like, you know, it's like you are owing a $7. Let's put it this way. It's like you are so, if you are, it's like you are owing a $7 for every $10 you are making. So every $10 you're making, you are owing $7. So that means you're only left up with $3. Do you see? I think that's how it is. And do you see how serious that is? Every $10 you're making, you are owing $7. That's a heavy load to carry. There's honestly a heavy load to carry, you know. How do we, and this is what it means. Think of now here in Namibia, the government is now borrowing. Its borrowing has been climbing as well. Eh? And by 2025, 2026, we are looking at spending 13.7 billion just to service the debt. 13.7 billion just to service the debt. So meaning paying interest and part of the loan itself. So, and remember what I said. So remember the example that I have given. So, and to put that in perspective as well, when we're talking about spending 13.7 billion, that, just to put that in perspective, that's actually more than what we are spending on development projects. When you look at our development budget, it's more than what we're spending on development projects. Project like now. Now think of that. Project like now, building maybe new schools, building new clinics, building new roads, whatever. Eh? So think of it in this way. Okay. Imagine you're running a household. Yeah. This is the only way I can understand, you know, these financial things, you know. So imagine you're running, and if I'm wrong, you know, but that's how I understand it. So imagine you're running a household and your monthly loan repayment are bigger than what you can actually spend on groceries or school fees, if you pay school fees. So your monthly loan payment, the loan repayment are bigger than what you can actually spend on grocery, on the food that you buy, on your basic things. That's what it means. So that's the kind of squeeze the government is in right now. And this is very serious. And I found it very, very interesting, you know, this article. And we don't pay much attention to this. But the problem, as I said, it does have effect on your daily life. Eh? Imagine earlier what I said. Eh? So that we are owing $7 for every 10, as an example, for every $10 that you make. That you only left up with three, and that three is now, it's where now you actually, you know, your budget now is based on your, on that three dollar. You won't be able to meet everything. As we can see, as I said, when you look at, we're looking at spending this year, 26. So we're looking at spending, that's from financial. We're looking at spending 13.7 billion just to service the debt. And when you look at that, that's actually more than what we will spend on a development project. So that is the problem. That is the problem. Eh? Shouldn't you really bother? Shouldn't you be bothered? I am bothered. You should be bothered. So when the government spending so much on debt, when the government actually spending so much on debt, there is less money for things that we all rely on. So those in Windhoek, like fixing your potholes, those of you that are Windhoek, you know. So when the government is spending so much on debt, so where are we going to get money to fix those potholes, you know, for you guys that are in Windhoek? Eh? So improving hospitals, keeping electricity prices affordable. So, if things get tighter, we might even see cuts to you know, to services or even to even higher taxes. Huh? That's how it affects us. For me, that's not fun. That's not really a fun thought to have, you know. It's not a fun thought at all. I don't know about you, but for me, that's not, you know, I can't even imagine that. But that's the situation that we are in. Yeah. So let's talk about another big piece of this puzzle. Another big piece of this puzzle, according to this article, is the global aid. Okay. For years, Namibia has relied on on help from international partners, especially the USA, you know, through programs like PEPFAR and USAID. So between 21 and 22, between just 2021 to 2022, the U.S. pumped over $3 billion into Namibia for things like health, education, agriculture, and even actually the program, like some program program that were funded that are fighting, you know, poaching. So now that is money that help, you know, that has helped keep clinics stocked with medicines, trained of some of some staff members, even trained some of our train our judges. And that's the money that also supported the farmers. So yeah, so it did a lot. That money did a lot. So, but the World Bank report says global aid to countries like ours, is at its lowest level in 20 years relative to our GDP. So, and here is worse. Here is where it is getting worse. Okay. Or getting worrying. So earlier this year, U.S. President, as we all know, the U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order, 14169. That was the order. Please remember that order because it's affected a lot of us. So 14169, that was the executive order. That order was freezing nearly all U.S. foreign development aid for 90 days. And later extended actually to 120 days. So that order in Namibia, actually even the later, while the humanitarian aid was exempted, I think at one point that was exempted through the through an emergency waiver, programs like now PEPFAR that was supporting Namibia have still been hit. Yeah? They didn't allow to go on. So, and with report of staff cuts and reduced services for HIV programs. And we have felt that impact. You know, we have companies that have closed. We have, IntraHealth. We have, Project Hope. We have, Catholic AIDS sections, all the AIDS, whatever. So organizations, they have been all that have been it. Staff has gone home. Many staff has gone home. Even if the minister said, well, in terms of the treatment, the HIV treatment, that the government hasn't been affected, the program hasn't been affected. It hasn't been affected because now the government have to actually take money somewhere pump into here, in treatment. And the problem is that we have been just absolutely, if you took programs like that, I have worked in this sector, you know, programs like malaria, TB, HIV. So those have been completely dependent on foreign donors. Close to 95% has been dependent on foreign donors. And we, over the years, we have been just relaxing, eh? So, end of June 2025, it is unclear now if USA, aid has fully resumed, but the uncertainty is already affecting our health sectors and other sectors in Africa, not around the world, actually. So you can just imagine, you know, you are a nurse at the rural clinic, and the supplies you depend on start running out or start running low, especially for people that comes to fetch their medicine for HIV, for example. And why do we have, and this is also, you can also tie it to why do we have, we're running out of medicines in clinics and hospitals? And if you say we are not being affected, why? Or imagine you are a student, because those are, were supported by this kind of programs. You know, maybe, yeah, you're a student hoping for a scholarship or the funding, and now the funding is gone. And sometimes I hate numbers. I said, this is not just numbers. Sometimes this is, we look at numbers. This is not just numbers. It's real people, real communities feeling the impact. So, yeah, in the article, it's also, it also talking about the Eurobond repayment. So what is that? What is your Eurobond? You know, I'm not talking now. I'm here. I'm not talking to the finance people. The finance people probably know what is the Eurobond it's all about. I'm talking to you who is, you're probably looking at a bond in euro or something like that. So yeah. So think of this. All right. I'm going to put it simple. Whether it makes sense. So, as I said, economic people and finance people, you're most welcome to come through and correct me and say, hey, yeah, you know, what you said, it wasn't right. So, now, when you talk about Eurobond, you need, think of this, you know, you need money to fix your house, okay? So you need money to fix your house, but you don't have enough cash. So, you go to the bank and take out a loan and promising to pay it back with interest over time. So Eurobond is a kind of, it's something, it's kind of like that. Yeah? But on a massive scale now, on a country level. Okay. And, you know, normally done in a foreign currency. So it's a loan that a country, like Namibia, takes out from international investors. So it could be from banks, could be, you know, pension funds. It could be even some, trillionaire people or billionaire people, you know, wealthy people overseas or anywhere. You see? Yeah. So now for Namibia, our euro bond from 2015 was worth of $750 US. And it was our first big step into a global financial market. So now repayment, well, it's exactly what it sounds like. Paying back the loan. So plus the interest you promised. So for Namibia, this Eurobond comes due in October 2025. Okay? It's going to be due, it's now due on October 2025, meaning we need to cop up, you know, to cough up the full $750 million US plus the financial interest payment. So by October, we should have that amount. So now, it's like when your car loan is due and you have got to settle the whole amount by the deadline. So if you don't have the cash, you might have to scramble, maybe sell something that you have at home or borrow more. That's another thing. Okay. You can also then borrow more. You get yourself in that circle of borrowing. Now you're gonna borrow to someone else. It's like a cash loan. You're settling that, but you then go to someone else, you know, to borrow. Eh? Or the other way is also to renegotiate the terms. But the deadline is we should be paying $750 US in October 2025. So that's the challenge Namibia is facing right now. So now the big question is, how are we going to pay it? So how are we going to pay it? So this is a story in today's article in today's edition of the Villager. So that we are unpacking. And make sure that you subscribe, as I said earlier on, to the Villager, for you to be able to receive your free copy of the Villager. So now the big question is, how are we going to pay it? Now, the good news is that the government has been planning ahead. So at least the government has been planning ahead. As of June 2025, they have saved up about $468. $468 million. So we have saved up that much. So in a sinking fund. I don't know why it's referred to as a sinking fund, you know? So, and they plan to add another $3 billion Namibian dollar, roughly $3 billion Namibian dollar, roughly 160 something. So, yeah, 167 roughly US dollars, million, okay, before the deadline. So, at least we, as I said, that's a good news. We have saved up a lot already, $468 million already in a sinking fund. And, we're planning to add another, $3 billion Namibian dollars, which is around 167 million. Yeah, before the deadline. So, yeah, that's a good news. So they're also looking to raise about, $122 million, through domestic borrowing to cover the rest. So, you know, it's like saving up most of the money for a big car, you know, for a big car payment, and borrowing a bit from a friend to make up the difference. You know, you know, so yeah, so and that still put us into, you know, you still actually have in debt. Maybe you have paid your Eurobond, but you know, that you're still actually in that circle. Now, for that, I think that was it. As I said, that's a good news. So that also show proactive planning from our government. So it show proactive planning. From our government, but borrowing the another problem that we're creating is that, but borrowing locally could also push up interest rates. Okay, so which might make a loan for business or home more expensive. So because you push up the interest rate, so that's. Those are the issue, that we found ourselves in. And remember, we go to that extent to really, to make you understand issues like this. You know, we go to the extent where we, you know, sometimes we get people that we talk to, sometimes we go ask and also research so that we digest it. You know, we put it in a way that you understand to see what is at stake. Eh? Maybe let's ask the question. Eh? Now let's look at why this debt is piling up. Why is actually this debt is piling up? Eh? Namibia's economy, it leans heavily on commodities. So our economy leans heavily on commodities. things like diamonds, uranium, fish, okay, meat, eh? So we lean heavily on those commodities. Now, the problem is when the global prices of these commodities drop, for example, or the demand slow down, our income takes a hit as well. So it takes a hit. So now it is like if you are a farmer, I always want to give an example for, that's how it helped me to understand what I'm talking about. So, and help you as well. And as I said, I'm not talking to the finance people. I'm talking to you. So they understand this better, or accountant, or economists. They understand that better. So I'm not talking to them. So now it is like, if you are a farmer selling tomatoes at the market, okay, at the open market, then suddenly nobody's buying, or they only want to pay half the price. So remember, you actually still stuck with the same bills. You still have the very same bills that you need to pay. But the problem here now is that, you know, people don't want to buy. Suddenly nobody's buying, or they want to buy it to pay it on a half price. So now your wallet to be able to pay your bills is actually much, 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 much thinner. So what do you do? So you are actually forced to go and borrow somewhere else, to go and get some money somewhere else, you know, to be able to pay your bills. And I want you to think in terms of the country. That's what we are in. All right? So the World Bank says this makes commodity-dependent country like ours now. So it makes our country more extra vulnerable because we don't control those global prices. I don't think there's anyone who controls those global prices anyway. But the whole idea is that, on top of that, we also have what is referred to external shocks. And we know that as a country as well, because in 2023, 2024, the drought that we have crushed our agricultural sector. You know, it has really crushed our agricultural sector, leaving half of people facing food security. And if you listen to the early morning scoop, you know, we had a problem in terms of food security. Half of the population facing food insecurity. So this shows we can't just rely on commodities. We cannot just rely on commodities. There's a word that's being thrown out nowadays. You know, there's a word that's being thrown out nowadays. We need to diversify. All right? We need to diversify. And I have come to learn that, what it means. So we cannot just have in one basket. So we need to diversify. So we need to diversify into things like, you know, I'm becoming more like a politician now. You know, we need to diversify, or like an economist. So we need to diversify into things like tourism, into technology, you know, and this is in green energy to build a stronger and more stable economy. So we need to diversify so that we don't put all our eggs. Yeah, it's eggs, man. So we don't put all our eggs in one basket. So that is what it means. All right. Because we are, as I said, we are a commodity dependent country. So, and that makes us more vulnerable. Okay. So now, I want us to put on, let's put on a thinking cap now, okay? Let's put on a thinking cap. I want us to think, and this is serious. I want us to think, put on a thinking cap. Now, the World Bank report is really concerning. It is concerning. And sometimes we talk this in a very joke way, but it is concerning. But it is not just about, as I said earlier on, it's not just about numbers. So, but it's also about, it's about choices. It's really about choices. So are we, the question is, are we prioritizing the right things? Are we prioritized? Are we really prioritizing the right things? For example, the government is plan to repay the Eurobond, which seems solid, you know. But could we, and this is I'm asking you who know more, could we negotiate better terms or explore other financing options to ease this pressure? Couldn't we? I don't know. I'm just asking. And I want you to think about that. When you come through, could we? Couldn't we have maybe negotiated better terms or explore other financial options to really ease that pressure? So, and we're talking about the aid cut, the aids being cut, the aid, not aids, aid being cut. Maybe it's a time to question. It's time to question how much are we relying on outsider to fund our priorities. I said that earlier on that, you know, if you look at programs like malaria, TB, HIV, that was 90% dependent on foreign donors. It was 90% dependent on foreign donor. How much are we relying on outsiders to fund our priorities? Those are priorities. So, as they said, we should focus on homegrown solution. We need to think, we need to start supporting local businesses, training our own skilled workers, tapping into opportunities like green hydrogen, you know. So now it's like this. It's like it's like planting a garden. So we should be planting a garden instead of waiting for someone to drop off groceries, you know. Yeah. So when you plant a garden, you know, sooner or later you will actually harvest from your garden. But instead, we are waiting for someone to drop, not even give us money to go and buy, actually drop off groceries. That's what have been happening. For our priorities, this is for our priorities, but we're waiting for someone else, you know, to drop those groceries on us. And that's a serious, that's honestly, and that becomes an attitude. It becomes an attitude, become a way of thinking, it become a mindset from one generation to another. And that's where the problem is. So, and we need to think about social impact. So we need to think about social impact, and that's the most important things. The hired, because now the combination is really badly. Hired, reduced aid. So that could mean less money for the most vulnerable people. Those who rely on public clinics, those who rely on social grant. And we know Namibia is one of the most unequal countries and equal countries in the world. We are about, we are third or fourth, I can't remember now. Actually, we are second to South Africa. We're South Africa number one and we are second. Yeah. So if we are not careful, now these physical challenges could widen the gap even further. Really could widen the gap even further. And we see that. So, now how do we get out of this? So quickly, how do we get out of this? So the MIF suggests we could reduce our fiscal deficit by 2 to 3% of GDP, which is doable. It is doable if we cut the non-essential spending. Eh? The non-essential spending. So while also protecting critical areas like health or education, and it's good. It's, and I like what the Minister of Finance said at one point where he said he's not going to cut these services, you know, even if we are put in a corner where we needed to. But it's only now. So, and the whole idea is also to cut on those, this non-essential spending. And learn to use the small we have, to maximize the small that we have. And we're still here, you know. If you look at the reports, the auditor report, look at the auditor report coming to different, there is one on the Erongo Council. Completely, you know. So how the money is actually spent. So, yeah, we need to cut on some of the stuff that, you know, unnecessary spending. Okay. Now, think of also our wage bill, our public wage bill. It eats up that public, it eats up over 50% of our government revenue, 50% of our government revenue. So maybe it's a time to look at, the reform, like early retirement schemes and streamline, you know, streamlining state-owned enterprises. So, yeah. So, which is actually what the government is actually doing. The government is doing that. You can see now that, you know, NASFAF, NASFAF is, you know, it's getting into the ministry, you know, NIPDB. Yeah. So that's streamlining some state owned and enterprises. So yeah. So the question is, how do we get out of this? So that's what MIF suggested. The other things that you know, hear around today is alluding to, this is the language that people are talking today, diversification is a key. Diversification is the key. So we have been relying on uranium. As I said earlier on, it's like putting all your eggs in one basket. So, and if the basket drops, you are in trouble. So if you remember the example of selling your tomatoes and nobody's actually, it's buying, or they want it on half price. So the bucket has dropped, or it completely dropped. So then you are in trouble. So the diversification, that's also what the president is talking about. That's what most of cabinet members are talking about. Investing in tourism, investing in technology, investing in renewable energy. So that means you could actually spread the risk. Yeah? And be able also to create jobs in that way. So, and the green hydrogen projects are It's a great start. It's a great start, and let's build on that. So let's build on that. So we need an honest national conversation. We need an honest national conversation. Doubt is not just, debt is not just a government problem. It is our problem. And if we don't manage it, our kids could stuck paying it off for years to come. And that's why we need discussion of that. Okay? Let's hear what you have to say. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Good morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Mandume?
I'm fine, man. Like, if you have to listen now, you have to put, you must have a data. And some of us sometimes we learn out of it.
Don't worry. It's, yeah. The changes will come. We're gonna be back. You know, don't worry.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Mike, you were talking about the Wenger deal and the report from Mwelongo.
I make a reference to that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's about debt that we're talking about. Yeah.
So okay.
It's our daily topic all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, but what are you saying?
Yeah. For me, man.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to Wenger deal, like in the government, I think some of the, we are spending unnecessary money.
Yeah.
Because now we can see that even the way they are suggesting that their government there's too many staffer to be paid. It's not really a wrong thing, but the thing is that what I'm seeing is that when you are looking at how we are decentralizing the resource, it's that we are too many concentrating in one thing.
Yeah.
We are not really, like now everybody talking about energy and gas. But remember last time we were talking about what? Green hydrogen. So sometimes I think we spend money where our mouth is not. Mm-hmm. Look, we have a councillor complaining in Karango that people are learning the green scheme in WhatsApp. There's an ocean window, it's the one who's directing.
Yeah.
The delegate in Karango.
Yeah.
Now tell me, it's the same with what the good minister did. The councillor is in Windhoek, or you can say what, mayor is in Windhoek, but it's landing on Mufia.
Yeah.
How would that happen? And then you have you find employment everywhere, but a person who is landing. A council which is not residing there.
Mm.
It's a problem which we are creating ourselves. And this is why I'm saying, we have some minister who are doing the talking, but we have some who are just talking and they are not acting.
Yeah.
How many police are supposed to be elected which are really, really, really denying our people opportunity even? Look, when I'm talking, I'm doing like a municipal council. You are talking about even the red line there. You are talking about, there are so many. And the president, they get rid of those who are conflicting and they're not taking us to develop our people.
Mm.
But most of them, they are quiet. You're talking about even the sector like technology. There are so many issues which are obstructing Namibian to take off.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, my brother, if you want even to come up with a company now, communication, there are so many complicating things for you to come there. You are talking about even to set up a pharmacy. It's the same. But those people who are there, the head of the department, they are quiet. You want to tell me they cannot see that there is a lot of obstructing.
Yeah.
Preventing Namibia to do business or to recruiting the others.
Mm.
It's a problem. Now, when we look at the distance, I think we are putting too much pressure on the government, but at the end of the day, again, the government is not opening up to its people. And there's where you find yourself, government is a source of only employment in the country. You remember there are our people who used to be taking over every time to, when it comes to business summit. They are also complaining that the government, they need to invest in them, but they already have opportunity which are supposed to allow the others. If you go, if you check the people who have been taken by the business summit to meet the USA, it's the same people who bend over and over.
Yeah.
And we are talking about even sports. Where did they take anybody from sports sector there? When we are talking about sports, we are talking about even the people who are developing academy here. Who are owning a club, academy here. Did they get the opportunity to be taken with the, to do the business summit?
Hmm.
That's it all. We are talking about IT specialists, those one who are doing even having cell phone repair. You are talking about computer repairs. Did they get the opportunity? The same people I'm telling over and over. Every day, every year, they are the one who are getting opportunity. But they are still complaining even, that the government must invest them. But they are only even bringing small numbers.
Hmm.
And if you look at the guy who's even doing mechanic or panel a bit, did they get out of that opportunity?
Yeah, you see, yeah, no, they didn't. Yeah, exactly. So the issue that maybe I want you to look at it also is the in the article that we are looking at. It's in the Villages, today's Village, and that's what I was looking at. It's really two combinations that are really dangerous for any country. So the expanding of debt, and I give an example where and I wanted people actually to think this seriously, you know, where that because the Minister of Finance say that our public debt is expected to hit over 70% of the GDP. Okay. So, and I put it in the way that what that means is that the GDP is like our total value. It's a total value of everything Namibia produce. Okay. Mm-hmm. Our fish, uranium, diamond, tourism, whatever the case may be. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When debt is about, it's 70% of that. So it means that we are owing we are owing $7 for every $10 you make.
Exactly.
And what you left, you only left with $3 to do, whatever you want to do now. Now, to develop the country.
What are you going to use $3 instead of losing $7?
Yeah. You see, that's how serious this is. Eh?
It is because we have to pay the loan which you are owing the people. Yeah. And the problem is that when you are even acquiring a loan again, you are still using it for your consumption to buy even like, let me put in the household.
Yeah.
You are getting a loan to buy your expenses of like food and paying off services like electricity and water.
Mm.
And you are not doing it for business. Do you think this is really a life so we're supposed to live? Not at all, because at the end of the day, you're only waiting for life, for retirement. Maybe you can pay off. When I mean retirement is what?
Yeah.
Your resource to be taken by force.
Yeah.
That is what we are expecting. Because our government are getting borrowing money. And remember, some money never even reached the country. Only paper workers. I'm telling you, this money is being channeled to sweep this account, Denmark, you name it.
Yeah.
And the only what some are coming to, and wherever even they reach the country, they must be a cousin of Mike who are supposed to get that tender. There is not even going to complete it. It's going to land with that money away. Yeah. Nobody is going to follow up. And this is what is been happening in this country. At the end of the day, we are going to have our grandkids who are going to be born with death.
Yeah. Imagine the other thing is that the 13, we support this year, the 25th, 26th financial year, we are looking at spending about 13.7 billion just to service the debt. You understand? So
What is our budget for developing a project? It's less than that.
It's less than, I'm telling you. At the end of the day, once you say no, we are going to do, but how?
So the money goes, we have much money going away than actually having money actually building new schools, new clinics, new roads. So that's the problem.
It's what I'm saying. Are you going to land the country if you are giving all the resources which you are having? It's what, you remember the other time I'm saying, what about if you go back to the Bata state? Because you think these things are not working. Look, we have a Chinese here.
No, we can't go to the apartheid.
not apartheid. I'm saying a barter system. If you're having a mango, I can come with my kettle, I give you a kettle, you give me mango.
Yeah.
Because I think, look, we have a Chinese here who are mining our uranium. And we are saying that uranium is not belong to us because the Canadians just sell to the Chinese without even us intervening. Did you see that?
Yeah,
but there are some Namibians who benefit out of that deal. A small percentage.
Mm.
There are small, let me say maybe 5 people benefit out of that. But the rest of us, we are then, even you go to other countries, they will tell you, oh, you guys you are the third or you are 5 somewhere, the producing nations when it comes to uranium.
Yeah.
But we are not testing that uranium at all. We are not even touching it because we don't have any school with your building in the uranium. We don't have any stadium. We don't have any hospital.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Sometimes we need to start, when you are going for foreigner, investment. But I'm saying now we are bringing in the Canadian or Chinese. You say, my friend, I know Chinese, you are the best when it comes to railway. We want the railway learning from Ketimans to Oshkango, which can go faster as long as one hour from Beijing to one of your daughter's Chinese capital cities. As long as you can learn with what, 1 hour, 30 minutes to reach there. Then I'll give you 50% of my uranium. Because now we have things, but these things will come in with ours. You know, American, those are things which are hitting a Namibian. And a lot of people, they don't know that why Namibian become an angry nation. We are even related to what? Even Libya and the DRC and the others, they are better than us. Because we are bitter, we are so angry nation. Look, we are here, we are having a conservative community when it comes to animal, wild animal. You are protecting them, but you are not, even people, the hunters who come to hunt from, what they call it, the professional hunters.
Mm.
They come and kill it. You never even taste that animal meat. They will tell you though it's going to what? Orphan age. And it never even reached it. To make a way, you tend to reach the what? Some honorable who's selling a butcher in Wundu.
Yeah.
You see, this is a problem I think we are creating ourselves. Because sometimes you need to have a community beneficiary. When you are saying, guys, I see we are having a lot of animal now here. What about seasonal hunting? We just go there one day only. Then everybody at least can have a piece of meat. It is ours.
But that's also become how you control that becomes very difficult, you know?
That's the thing. Mm. Now we have the crocodile which are eating people there. But why we cannot eat the crocodile?
Yeah.
And later on you see them, they are, we are going to sell them to, send them to Dubai. But they are feeding you. I mean, they are feeding from us. But at the end of the day, that money never returned to Kavango East even to develop something, even the stadium, which we give our animal, I mean, crocodile somewhere, which are supposed to be that money to return to the community. It's never happened.
Yeah.
I think serious, this is awful, like a debt. It's a debt for other people, certain people. They must not including all Namibians. Because if the Queen Namibian, we are supposed to be beneficial of that debt.
Yeah, but it's going to affect you terribly. It's affecting you terribly.
Wherever they mess up, they always come to you Namibian.
Yeah.
You are corrupt.
So
they don't mean, they don't say only the top one. No, we are all included. Even you want to do business, but I think I want to do business with you, but you people are corrupt. You see now?
Yeah.
It's affecting us. Really.
All right.
Okay, thank you, my brother.
Great, man. Thanks for coming through.
Okay, sure.
All right.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, even the amount of debt that we servicing, you know, spending, you know, 13.7 billion just to service the debt, you know, it's more than, you know, it's more than what we are spending on development project. So that's why we're not building schools, new school. We're not building maybe to the rate that is expected, you know, clinics, running out of medicines, not improving certain roads, you know. So that's the reasons we have to really sometime understand where we are and hold, accountable, people knowing exactly the reasons why we do this. Sometimes it's for you to help you. You know what you're talking about. You know what you can actually, you know, hold, those in charge responsible. And sometimes can also not only hold them responsible, but also be able to advise or maybe, you know, the national conversation. As I said, we need to have a national conversation, you know, and that's why we bring you topic like this. As I said, it is in our village today, and you can subscribe to receive a free copy every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So yeah, and we go a little bit deeper just to highlight, you know, certain things that you should be able to understand, to be able to involve in communications, in the conversations, national conversations. So, and as I said, that is not just about, it's not just a government problem. It is our problem. No, whether you leave it up to the government, it will affect you. It will still affect you. It will still affect your children. Your kids could be stuck in paying it off in the years to come. So let's push let's push for the transparency. We want to see how the government planning to handle future debt. The reasons why we do this is to understand, and also for us to understand, you know, how is the government going to, you know, to handle the future debt, because we are actually in trouble. And what is the long-term plan to reduce borrowing without cutting the services we need? I know the Minister of Finance said we will never cut the services. But you never know. You might be pushed into a corner at certain time. At one point, you might be put in the corner where you definitely will be pushed to cut the services that we need. So you may not cut it, but we may not have it. There's no, you see the difference. You may not say you cut it, but it's just that your budget will be lower, will be actually maybe if you have about 24 billion for education this time, you know, next year could be about 14. So a reduction of that budget still shows that you cut. You cut actually the budget. You cut the service that we need. So, yeah. So let's hold our leaders accountable, but also support tough choices, you know, they will make or they will need to make. Eh? It's not just hold them accountable on things that are not going right, but also support them, support the tough choices that they have to make or that they need to make. Okay? So that's also very important. So what do you think? Should we worry about this debt? Or is it a chance to rethink? Because when you find yourself in a situation like this, you can look at it two ways. You're looking at this as well. This is a problem. You worry and put your head into sand and you don't want to think about it and all that. So, but it's also a chance to rethink, how we build our economy. So what do you think? Please do come through. Our telephone number is 083-66-091, 083-66-091. So do come through and have your share on this item. 083-66-091.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, Imatina, Omjo, Chicago Safas and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, Iamoyao, Otaingo got some money. Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Omjika, Faithanina, Omaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Longishifa, Okupiramo, Igelefem Media House, where 20 team in a
good morning.
Good morning,
I'm finding yourself.
Yes. You are saying
we you're a little bit further. We can't hear you properly. You sounds far. Yes. Get to a place where your connection is much better. I can't hear you right now. All right? All right. Get to where you are clear, and then we can put you through. All right?
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Great news. Impa just got.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 9:59, 59 minutes past the hour of 8. This program's, this show goes up to 9:30. So, we still have enough time for you to come through and engage us on the topic that we have just covered. And this is actually a story in our e-newspaper, The Villagers, that you can have a free copy. You can only do that if you subscribe and you can send for you to subscribe to get a free copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. What you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email address at 0812004144. And then, you know, so then you'll be receiving a free copy. Oh, the other things that I wanted to say, probably actually just forgot it from the very beginning. I think the 29th yesterday was our Eagle FM birthday. So happy Eagle FM, happy birthday. Belated, do they call it belated? It was yesterday, it's not that late. So belated birthday to Eagle FM. So it has been about, it has been about six years of really providing, you know, quality, you know, in-depth, and value, you know, to the, Namibian nations. And, so we pray and hope, that, you know, we continue in the very, same breath. And we, probably, thank everybody, the management and everybody who have been there from the very beginning, who made, Eagle FM what it is today, you know, and we thank those who come before us, and what they have, started, and hopefully we continue to follow, their path. And, so we're inviting you as well to continue to be part of this family, so that it grows into, a powerhouse, which we are already. And, but look, so we ask you, wherever you are, whether in and outside of this country, to be, you know, to be part of this journey. It's our journey. It's a Namibian journey. And, as we're talking about investing in local business and entrepreneurship. So this is one of it. So make sure that you invest in a local, you know, entrepreneurship and business such as this one. So yeah, we also look for your support and your partnership in terms of, you know, not just listening, but also being part of keeping us, you know, keeping us as a business between you and us as well. So, all right. So yeah, happy birthday, to Eagle FM, which was yesterday, and, to every staff on Eagle FM and to those who make sure that we are on air. And, we are very proud of the work that they do. And thank you for us as an anchor. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to be able to do what we love to do. And, happy birthday, Eagle FM. So our time is, you're also most welcome to come through and wish us a happy birthday. It was birthday yesterday, so you can do that as well. So our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of four. It's 4 minutes past the hour of nine. So here on Eagle FM, and we're coming to you live. All right. So yeah, we talked about the impact of debt and a social impact of debt into, to us, to Namibian citizens, and why a debt is actually piling up. If you wanna read more, please, as I said, get your copy of The Villager. So we talk about the Euro bond repayment. So those are some of aspects that highlight in the articles. And we talked about the cutting of the global aid and how that impact, you know, our country And we talk about the public debt, you know, and how serious that is. Yeah. So, yeah, what do you think? What is your, and this is coming from, as I said, this is coming, it's a report that is coming from a World Bank. It's a World Bank report called, Physical Vulnerabilities in Low Incomes, in Low Income Countries. And it's also in our today's newspaper, The Villages, by, Nyirunanye Petrus. So good morning. Welcome. If you're just joining us. So yeah, you can come through and, our telephone number again, 08333-66091. And while I'm waiting for you, let's have a quick break and we will continue.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, I think you might morning once more again. I think you can hear each other.
Yeah, no, I can hear you properly now. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the chance.
Good morning. How are you?
You sound good.
Yes.
The door is cold, but life goes on.
Of course, that's what it should be. You would, if it just hot, you would complain. Nah, it's always hot, you know. We human.
Everyone is corrupt. So whether you do good or not, you might not be pleased with everyone.
Yes, that's life.
So now, before I go on the debt, this is the responsibility of each and every one of us to finance that.
Yeah.
And say to it that yes, it's reduced or done away with. So maybe, if it's possible, time allows, you may also just say what was your the thought of the day. Sometimes it gives us more inspiration, build us, and we learn some lessons there and warnings.
Yeah.
To avoid.
Yeah, no, I will do that towards the end, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you did mention today. I have to do that.
Yeah, no, I did. I will do that towards the end for you.
So now, the issue of debt. It is good that the way we have this public debt, so might also apply to our individual debt, personal debt that we have.
Yeah.
So how to finance that, especially when it comes now to the government or public interest. So we all have responsibility, obligation to finance that through many, many ways. The other time we, I don't know if it was you or somebody else in the program, I was listening,
yeah,
how they were diversifying their economic activity to finance some of these social projects,
yeah,
in many other areas. So I think the same applies to us as individuals, as citizens, having responsibility to do that in many ways, through text or whatever.
Well, it's manageable. It's just how do we do it, and are we committed to it? That's just the question. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a good question. We need to be committed and patriotic enough to make sure that our country doesn't go in debt like many other countries. I think I heard somebody mentioning comparing Namibia, and I think those ones, the finance on others, they have thought it very well that yes, our debt is in our currency. Not for example in the US dollar or pounds and whatever. You know, that also, you know, give us, you know, some difficulties to finance those things. But still, it's a responsibility for us to seriously diversify our activity and make sure that also we participate in the economic development so that we can finance those debts. Or is there any way, maybe that is the best alternative to finance those ones? Apart from what I'm saying, suggesting that yes, everyone is supposed to be contributing. And I think that's what you are alluding to. When you say it's for us, you cannot really leave it to the government alone. And the government is us, isn't it?
Yep.
The government is the people. Mm. If the government is the people, the staging, then we should be able to finance that one. So when you say it shouldn't be left to the government alone, so maybe the implication.
Yeah.
It means, yes, all of us have the responsibility. Whether we are corrupt in our behavior, in action, and doing things, or not, we should still finance that. Those debts.
Yep.
Through many, many other means.
Mm.
So, you wanted to comment?
No. I'm just saying, yeah, that's true. I said we have a responsibility. And then, so one, it's of transparency as well and also accountability. So, yeah, so in some way or another, so we cannot just either, you know, we cannot leave it up because it will affect us in future. If you just said, okay, let what the government do, what do their own thing. It will
what is the government? That's the question. What does the government do? Right. So what does the government do? That means we are pointing finger to ourselves and say, this is what we do. When we say government, maybe we say, yes, the government thinks they have some tools and mechanisms and they make the environment more conducive for us now to strive in terms of contribution, so that we strive in activities and, you know, come up with activity so that we can then finance those debts. Yes, there we can talk. But we can also come up with some initiative, development initiative. I say yes. So here we are in our community. We have a plot there. We have this other one. Can we undertake some economic activity that can contribute to financing that debt that you are talking about?
Yeah.
So let's lobby and mobilize the resources within our community, our stakeholders there. And then now we can then now take those ones to account and say, yes, you are financing some development activities. So in our area here, these are the ones that are identified. And we have also mobilized our people to commit and then put their energy together. So can we make it happen? But we can make all these things happen. So Mike, let me listen to the talk of the day.
Yeah.
And I think that you also give me the opportunity to come back again.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you.
A very good morning to you. Our time is about 14 minutes past the hour of nine. And,
welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia. Mwindu Bay, Mwindu Bay.
Mwindu, how do you say cold?
Free you.
Mwindu free you, man.
Malaki, we is better.
Where is that?
In South Africa's west.
Oh, yeah, no. I at the other time, I was saying, okay, I was in Pretoria. I studied in Pretoria.
Yep.
And the cold there, you know, it's a cold that actually you feel it in your bone, you know. So no matter whether you are sitting in front of the heater, you know, yep, you are bent, but you can still feel warm. you have about 5 or 6 blankets, but my friend, you still don't feel anything, you know. It's the cold in the bone, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, I came in because The government is, what the banner say, the government is the people, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way. So I want just to ask something. So what did you saw? Did you went by car or you went by plane?
Where?
To South Africa.
By plane and by sometime by car, by bus, okay. Sometime by plane, yeah.
Okay, just tell me, what did you saw wrong here in our airport, and what did you saw right in the airport? You know, sometimes if you go to South Africa,
yeah,
that airport is very, like, let me say, like Johannesburg is a very big airport.
Yeah.
But the system they use to cater for those passengers and to receive them is very fast and very quick. Yeah. I was so disappointed. Coming from Johannesburg, only two planes. We just come with two planes. This Air Link.
Yeah.
I think we are maybe 300 to 400 there. And let me say I was maybe in
Johannesburg or in Namibia.
To Namibia, back to Namibia.
Yeah.
Let me say I was the third person to go and start get my passport. You know how long I waited in that queue, and I think about what about those who are behind me, you know. Yeah. And this system of applying whatever online,
yeah.
I already been affected or not? Because if you want to make money, you want your country to move forward, you should also consider the how you receive your guests in your country. That is embarrassing because. Just think about you're in the queue and somebody, maybe you're having a running stomach, and maybe you want to go to the toilet. And the toilets, they are only when you go inside to, you pass to the officers inside in the air. So now I think about, if this goes like this, and I heard people behind me saying, no, you can't mean just waste of time. You just wait for long, then you just embarrassing you. You know, that's not good. We need, I go to South Africa. In South Africa, maybe let me say, like, six planes land at the same time. Yeah. Not even these small planes, like from British Airways, France and China and whatever. And when you go to those, you, my brother, it's like you are passing just a door to door to go to your house. And why we have this kind of delaying and not even giving the trust to the guests to come to our country for them to love to come back to their country. They even get this, their, This comfort to say, man, watch this.
It's technology, my friend. It's technology. You have to, you know, as much as, you know, it made a difference in terms of how many people have come to our country. You understand? The number of visitors have increased tremendously, you know, because of that. Yeah. But we just need to work on arrival. You know, when people now arrive, how do we fast up? How do we make sure that it's actually faster? Because it has been complained now for quite a while now. So yeah, I think that's only the hiccup on that e-visa kind of initiatives. But it made a difference, you know, for a number of people that comes to our country. Yeah.
Yes, people they love to come to our country. But the system we are using in the airports there is not really, it's too slow, my brother. It's very slow. You even feel like, what is wrong now here? Because if you want to boost your economy, you should also consider the tourists. How do you receive them? How fast are you? Where is your loopholes to say, these are here, I'm wrong. Let me pick up this kind of thing. Because our economics, you see, when Corona, we are hit by Corona.
Yeah.
Many of people, they lose their job because there's no tourists in our country. And now, if you don't elevate that kind of system, what are you doing?
Yeah.
My brother, in South Africa, I'm telling you, six or seven planes on time, the same time. But when you go to the checkpoint of the office, the immigrations, my brother, you don't feel the queue. But it's long, but you don't feel the queue because those people are so too fast. They know what they're doing. They want their country to shine. Yeah. But what are we doing?
What we have done, we have come up with an initiative that actually help us to get a lot of visitors in the country.
Yeah.
But we haven't improved our system. Yeah. So you kind of, we're still actually using, you know, now what we have done well is that we have made people come. We have made visitors come. But then we haven't improved. We're still actually using the very same system that we used to. You know?
No, we need to change.
Yeah, so that probably we need to improve to cater to a new way, to a new wave of people that are coming in that we have in, that we have created ourselves. So I think that we just need to improve on that. I think it will happen. I think it will happen. It's a learning process. That they didn't probably expected it to happen in that way. We go learning as we go. I think it's frustrating, I understand that as well.
Yeah, I think we need really to talk about it more. So even the system will change, because I was seated by one American guy. He was like, "Are you Namibian?" I was, "Yes, I'm Namibian. I'll be even proud. I'm Namibian." Then he said, "Oh, I like to go to Namibia because it's safe. I like to go to Namibia, but I'm going to Namibia now. But the problem I have in Namibia, just the system of you passing that system of the airport to go inside of Namibia. Now it's changed."
Yeah. Madam, I have to note that so that I can I can follow up with some of this.
Yes, please, because for us to make money on those people, for us to create more job, also they play a big role in our economy. I need that thing that system at least to change a bit, so people don't wait for too long. Then I'll be happy if that thing's changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was just my input for today.
Yeah, no. So you're welcome, man. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you.
All right.
Very good morning to you. Our time, it's about 22 minutes past the hour of 9. And by 9:30, we will definitely, so we will come to the end of our show of unpacking the day. So what was, let me quickly just give the thought of the day, because that was asked by Uncle Buena quickly. Our thought for the day was, our thought for the day was the person is a person because of other people. The person is a person because of other people. The proverb is a translation of the Zulu Xhosa phrase, umuntu gumuntu ngabantu, which lies at the heart of the Ubuntu philosophy from Southern Africa. So it expresses that our humanity and personhood are defined and nurtured through relationships. So with family, community, and society at large, you are shaped, recognized, and completed through others. So Ubuntu teaches us that when one person thrives, the entire community benefits. And when someone is harmed or dehumanized, we all suffer. So our humanity is inextricably linked. So this proverb is both philosophy and a call to action. So it reminds us that our self-worth and identity emerges through community, and it urges us to uplift others, and because their dignity reflects our own. So that was our thought for the day.
A
very good morning to you.
How are you, Mike?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm good. Just with regards to what we are looking at, I want to just say, when it comes to things like the e-passport and the e-visa and those things, it's good for us to have those ideas. But I want to bring something to your mind.
Yeah.
You see what happened now with Iran and what is this country's name? U.S.
You're in an environment that have a little bit of a noise in the back. Yeah.
Let me just move away.
Yeah.
And I will call you back.
Yeah. So
okay.
Do that. Right. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Our time, 25 minutes. We still have 5 minutes. Probably Anonymous will come through again. Yeah, so, well, you're also welcome to come through and have your say. We still have about 5 minutes. And as I said, we're talking about the rising debt increases, physical risk for low income, nations. So, and, let me go to, where is that? Yes, I'm quickly going to.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any...
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking Today.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. The part of the day, actually, just it's in the same line.
Yeah, just a quick one, because there's someone called one to one come back here.
So now, so it's the same, what we, like, we're talking about, community, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Government, we are the same people. And then, you know, just, you know, make it clear now.
Yeah.
That we are one to two things to protect another. We're the same. We are our same body, the same thing. So let's continue with that spirit so that we can then perhaps revive ourselves within ourselves and give ourselves some kind of condition so that we can then you know, move the whole thing together.
All right.
It's a nice day that you're talking about.
Okay.
Good.
Mm. All right. 28 minutes.
You get a film?
Yeah, Mike, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm. So what I was saying is that if you look at what's happened with Iran and how the U.S., even I think Israel, how they violated the Atomic Energy Agency's regulations, yeah, and the UN regulations, how they just blatantly, you know, disrespected those agreements that have been in place for decades and decades,
yeah,
right? If you look at that, that effectively means there is no more UN. Every country out there should not be able to say, hey, I'm part of the UN. Why? They should, because these guys disrespected those rules, those agreed upon conventions or treaties or whatever it is, right? Whatever they agreed upon, if they are so willing to break that, then that means the UN is worthless. It has, it's not worth the paper it's printed on, whatever agreements that they have. So therefore, if that is the case, why would I run for e-visa system or what is this system for the IDs, the new IDs apparently that are coming on? Why would I do that? Because you have to be part of a global system to want, that's the drive, that's the initiative that wants countries to be part of such a thing. But if the US or anybody else insists willingly stand up and come and attack you for whatever reason that they dreamt up, WMDs, weapons of mass destruction, they don't like you, you said something about Trump, whatever it is.
Mm. But I don't see how you, how do you connect that the conflict, I mean the bombing, for example, that you're referring to the e-visa? I'm not getting that.
The e-visa is there to do what? It's there to make it easier for outsiders, or people outside. Basically, what they want to do is they want to do away with borders, isn't it?
Yeah, somehow the paperwork sometimes that goes into it. Yeah.
Look. The e-visa is more than just the paperwork.
It's more than that.
Yes. Now what I'm saying is that beyond the paperwork, if you go and say, no, I want to be part of a global community, but if in that global community you've got no say, in that global community, the powers that be can do whatever they want because they have the power.
Yeah.
How will you and I be if there had to be this so-called new world order?
Yeah.
And they are ordering the whole world based on the current hierarchy that is there right now. Mm. They see themselves as having more right to do whatever they want. Right?
They have been always that way. You
okay,
know.
But if that is the case, then the number one thing that Africans and Namibians should not want is a new world order. We shouldn't want such a thing. Why? Because it's neo-colonialism. It means that we are going to be, they are showing us who they are right now. Mm. It means that we are going to be the second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth class citizens just on the fact that we are Namibians and we are Africans. Just on that basis, right, we will be 10th class citizens, not even second, because they are better.
And they that's are why better.
That's what they claim. That's what it's a good claim to make.
Yeah.
It's a nice dream to have, but that's their claim. So if their claim is that, then I have got to be careful how I deal with them because I see how they dealt with Iran.
No.
Basically, when Iran attacks, it's terrorism, but when Israel attacks, then it's, what is it? It's called,
self-defense.
They are defense, it's a defensive move.
Yeah.
So that is a double standard that needs to be something that's in the back of everybody's mind. If we go ahead and we integrate ourselves with the rest of the world and we don't separate ourselves, keep ourselves to ourselves, we will end up neo-colonial slaves, which 50% probably we already are right now.
We're going out of time, but when you keep yourself to your, when you keep to yourself, think of already how many trade do we have among ourselves as African, you know?
We have a lot. We trade a lot with South Africa.
It's
Zambia.
Okay. I mean, the money now, for us from South Africa, the import from South Africa quite a lot, but trading among African countries, it's quite less compared to what or how we're trading with outside world, with America and Europe and China. So
no, but that's by design. That's by their design.
Yeah.
So what they do is they
by knowing that we're still more trading with them. Even knowing that we're still actually trading with them rather than with ourselves. So,
yes, exactly. Yeah. I agree, but that doesn't mean that we have to willingly lie to ourselves. If you want to be slaves, just be slaves. It's not a problem, right? Go ahead and be a slave, but don't lie to me and tell me no. This is a global village. This is a brotherhood of men. It's not. It is colonialism. Hitler was trying to do is what they are trying to do right now. They are trying to do the same thing Hitler was trying to do. So that's why I say if they behave that way with the conventions, the so-called UN, and the UN didn't say a word.
Let's do that tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, we're going beyond our time, yeah.
Okay.
All right, now thank you for coming through. All right.
My dear people, my dear listener, that brings us to the end of our unpacking the day today. Do join us tomorrow again at the same time on the same frequency and do what you normally do. All right. So yeah, tell someone who will tell someone who will tell someone, what you have heard this morning. So that's how we make a difference. So for me, Marco Chavelli, I wish you a very good week ahead and a productive one as well. So for now, stay tuned. Helmut is coming up with Mind the Gap. So goodbye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitiramo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa Ninge kwa tafanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora itatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, mbali o hetatu matatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.